Sports Show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
To the far point. Here's Nordstrom hanging high. Rink wide. Grizzly walks in. Shoots toward the safe. Rebound. They score! A Sully for the second time in as many games. Sean Corrali jumping up and down. Crashes into the far corner boards. He had the backhand in the slot on the rebound opportunity and swings it home. Bruins 3, Blackhawks 2.
How much of the Winter Classic you catch yesterday?
Almost all of it. Great game.
Great game. We got an excellent game yesterday.
Great setting. And look, all the stuff that you don't get during the regular season, and even if you do, you don't pay attention to it. You pay attention to it during the Winter Classic. That the Bruins showing up in the Peaky Blinders attire was phenomenal. And somebody asked Brad Marchand, I think it was the camera guys from NBC Sports, asked him, which character are you from the Peaky Blinders? And he said, Tommy effing Shelby, as if there were any question about it. I mean, come on. What are we talking about here? So the not even the pomp and circumstance of it, just the pageantry of it. You know, the play a little dress up. You know, we're having this game in a weird venue. And we're gonna do some weird things to go along with it. I like the camera work over the ice. I like the angles that they got this year. I still think it's a little weird that they are further away. But
some of the angles were great. Some of them were not so great.
Yeah, but you deal with it for a few seconds and you move on. It was fine. And more than anything, it was a really good game. I enjoyed the game immensely. There were a couple of hiccups at the beginning. The first goal that Chicago scored, I thought our guy, Torrey Krug, got not manhandled. He got his stick lifted, essentially, behind his own goal. And as a result of that, the puck got back out into the slot, and Tuukka got beat for the first goal of the game. But Torrey redeemed himself. I think it was with the third goal where he got an assist on that. And the team played really well. Tuukka played well. Bergeron was Bergeron. And it's nice to see your guys succeed on that stage when you know more people are watching that game than maybe any other game of the year. I don't know what it does ratings-wise compared to like Stanley Cup Finals and things like that.
Nationally, it did just under a 2, I believe, yesterday, which for them was the best rating that it did in 4 years, I believe.
Right.
It's
still tough to get non-hockey people to watch hockey, but when they do, it was good to see Bergeron perform like that.
I mean, Bergeron took over the game for like 35 seconds yesterday.
My God.
And an unbelievable sequence.
It's like, you don't understand what being like the best two-way forward in the game is. Watch that sequence. Maz retweeted a nice little encapsulation of it earlier. It's just fantastic.
That's Patrice Bergeron.
That's him.
You can watch that 35 seconds and say, that's who that guy is. That's who he's always been. That's who we hope he will always be. To get back and break up a breakaway chance. Take the puck the other way.
Like a for sure break.
Like
that guy was getting the shot off. That guy was breaking away. He was going to get, it wasn't a one-on-one because he had trailers, but he was going to get that shot off. Nope. Patrice was there. Thwarted the shot.
That's why he wins the Selke.
Got back, and he didn't do a dipsy doodle. He didn't do a toe drag. He wasn't saucing the guy. He just got into position and was there on offense and was where he needed to be to score the next goal.
Masterful.
It's fantastic. That's who he is. That's who he is.
That's exactly right. Great example of who that guy is, and it happened in less than a minute.
I didn't feel a lot of hype for this game. I mean, it was a cool venue.
It wasn't here. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of it.
You know, when it's here, you feel it because there's local elements to it. But I thought if you watched it, if you caught it yesterday, if you had the time to do it, you felt it was a great atmosphere there. I know we had people from here that were there. Felger and Mazur out there, Big Jim. They'll talk more about it today, I'm sure. but you could, it came through on television how great of an atmosphere it was. And it sounds like Bruins fans were well represented among the 80,000 people that showed up to watch a hockey game at Notre Dame yesterday.
I didn't feel that way watching the game. Obviously, it was going to be a lot more Chicago fans just geographically,
yeah,
based on where the game was played. So to me, it didn't sound on the broadcast like there were a ton of Bruins fans represented.
Maybe
there.
Your surround sound is not as good as mine. Maybe that's what it was.
Do you want to do like a listener test? You want to get have McCone go to both?
Here's what I thought,
both
Artie.
Places.
When
and
good
tell
things,
them which one sounds
when,
better?
When good things happened for the Blackhawks, it was obviously louder. There were more Blackhawks fans.
Yes,
based on it being close to there.
Well, there were Bruins fans there.
I thought when the Bruins scored goals, you could actually hear Bruins fans cheering. You could hear the Bruins fans at the end of the game. I thought that I didn't know if we'd even be able to hear that, and we did.
Yeah.
They were better represented than maybe what I thought they'd be. So I thought that was good. They played a good game. Come from behind win. Excellent. And here's my proposal. Because I could watch this every single year. Could you watch the Bruins in the Winter Classic every year? It would never get old for me.
Yeah, it's not going to have the same feeling each and every year. But after already having seen them do it now a couple of times.
Yeah.
I'm not tired of it. I'm not sick of it. It's
we've seen them do it three times since 2010.
Yeah.
And every single time it's been, you know, outside of them completely coming out totally flat against the Canadiens. It's still been fun. The buildup has been good. I could watch it every year. I could make that a New Year's Day tradition. But that's a little unrealistic. They're not going to put the same teams in it every single year.
No.
Let me take this another step then and be more realistic. The same way I'm being realistic about my path for the Patriots to get to the Super Bowl.
Go ahead.
Original six teams are the only teams allowed in the Winter Classic. That's a hard line. That is a hard line I am drawing in the sand.
You're not all bunched up about it being in Dallas?
That means you can't have... Exactly. Thank you. That adds to my point. That enhances my point. What are you doing taking the game to Dallas next year, you fools? Originals, and this is tough. You know why? There are teams that are not original six teams that I think would be good to have in the rotation, like Philadelphia. Sorry, you're out. Original six teams only in the Winter Classic, the same way it's Canadian teams only in the Heritage Classic. That's it. It's the only way in. Hmm. You can still have a stadium series. You can still get these other teams into interesting venues, but you're not doing it on New Year's Day. You're doing it on some other random Saturday or Sunday. And it's not going to be played up the way the Winter Classic is and the Heritage Classic when they do it. Because they announced, what is it, what is coming up? They're doing Winnipeg and Calgary are doing an outdoor game. Terrific. All of Canada will watch that one.
Yeah.
Awesome. But that's a special thing for Canada. Original six teams only, rotation, so that they're in it all the time.
That'd be awesome.
That's my take.
Right. Because...
That's it.
Is Dallas going to care about that game? Like the city of Dallas? Are they going to show up and support that thing?
Is it no.
Gonna, and I don't know that, it, that they need to. By the way, I guess they were in danger of not selling out. And I don't know if they did sell out.
What?
In South Bend.
Really?
Yeah. Billy was on with...
Well, it's over 100,000 seats, right?
Yeah. Billy was on with Fred and Rich. I think they did about 80,000.
Yeah, it was 80,000. So there were 20,000 empty seats there?
I'll look what they hold. I think they hold over 100, don't they?
I don't.
For football, they do.
I don't think it's that big. Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. What are you doing?
I don't know.
NHL. Why?
Because it's
where's the interest? Where's the draw there?
For the same reason they put Weezer on to perform at the intermission. I mean, you and I are in the demo that would care about Weezer performing.
I didn't stick around to watch it. I don't dislike Weezer. I like a bunch of different Weezer songs.
But do you care? You care about seeing them play a song?
I didn't care enough to stay in the room.
No, me neither.
I was more interested in the hockey yesterday, so when the intermissions came, you get up, you walk around, you go get something to drink, you know, go to the bathroom, all that. You're not tied into what's going on the TV.
No. I had that wrong. It's only 81,000, or just under 81,000 capacity. So
close to a sellout.
Close, yeah.
They had 80,000 people there. Original six teams only.
Construction cost. $750,000.
Artie, you're covered. The Red Wings are in.
Yes, thank you.
I mean, you hit big markets, Detroit, Boston, New York, Chicago.
Montreal.
A lot of stadium
Toronto options
there, too, though.
Yeah, and they're all cold weather cities where they play hockey, where they care about hockey. That's it. Well, and again, it sucks because like Philadelphia is a good one. Philly's got a decent tradition, good team, a team that has rivalries with both New York and Boston.
Sure.
But I'm drawing a hard line in the sand, original six only. Sorry, everybody else. You can't play in the Winter Classic anymore.
You,
because the original six need more of these games.
You don't ever want it in L.A. again?
No. No, and you know what? I don't want it in Pittsburgh. Remember all the issues they had when it rained in Pittsburgh the year they had it there?
Well,
that was a nightmare.
They got a ton of rain there, and they needed like every ice expert they could find in order to get that surface playable yesterday, but apparently they did a great job. It's just they're quick to point out, well, you know, the feels like temperature in Dallas today is 30.
The real feel?
Yeah, 30. Yeah, the real okay. Field temperature is 30, so it's not that much different. Yeah, it's different because it's in Dallas. You're trying to do an outdoor hockey game in Dallas.
Right now in Dallas, 40 degrees. Driving rains.
Yeah. Big tradition of outdoor hockey rinks in Dallas.
Here's the
that'll
high.
Probably be good. It'll be, if you go to the game, though, it'll probably be a good atmosphere. They'll probably do it up like they do the state fair at the Cotton Bowl, like around the Cotton Bowl, and they do that whole thing.
It's not a football game, Jim. It's a hockey game. They don't do hockey.
They're still going to do it up like that, though. They're going to, all the surroundings.
With a bunch of people who don't
Bowl.
Care. They don't even go to their games when they're at home. Here are the temperatures for the next 7 days in Dallas. Oh. Tomorrow, it's a high of 40. So, not freezing, but also not warm.
Should be okay.
56, 62, 67, 68, 63, and 60. I wish they could turn the heat up to 60 at Warrior when we're there tomorrow. That'd be nice. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask the people at Warrior tomorrow, hey, what's the ice like when you turn up the heat in here to 68? 68 and maybe some drizzle.
Is it going
to
be ruined?
Does that work? Does that work? Is there a way you guys can keep the ice cold? No?
Pretend you're from, like, Dallas. You know, like, we need to start doing some...
Yeah, we're looking to build a rink.
Yeah. Well, we need to start experimenting with different temperature variances for the outdoor game in Dallas. I need you to turn it up to 68 for between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Thursday. We'll just check it out.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
This helps my emotions.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yo, so I'm sitting here with my boy. I'm about to go ahead. I'm going to get the exclusive. Y'all stay tuned. We listening to what we listening to right now.
Stay tuned. We about to do this big interview.
We gonna drop the exclusive. I got it first.
And that's what's playing out on social media today. That's Antonio Brown with James Harrison within the last 20 minutes or so. Messing around, making a big joke of it. Gonna have a press conference on, was it Instagram or Twitter?
That was James Harrison's Instagram.
Okay, Instagram. Yeah, Instagram.
But in the background, Tomlin's press conference is playing.
So
they recorded
during,
it during the press conference.
They recorded that during the press conference, mocking his press conference, saying that James Harrison's going to have the exclusive with Antonio Brown, the two of them together. Unbelievable. Well,
he did quit on his team too, right? Then he signed with the Patriots.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So... we ducked out of Tomlin's press conference, and we missed all the good stuff, all the follow-up questions on it.
Because the follow-ups were got some actual info.
Yeah, where he started to give you more and more. Here it is.
I'd be happy to address any questions.
Mike, what's the situation now with Antonio? Have you spoken with him, and how do you see the situation resolving?
I haven't spoken with him since that meeting I had with him prior to the game at the stadium on Sunday. Obviously, I'm going to address it. We're going to address him and the circumstance. But to be quite honest with you, you know, we're going to information gather and use all the time at our disposal in which to do so. But in all, like we do in all circumstances, we're going to deal with it appropriately. We're going to deal with it in-house. And I'm sure that you'll hear about the intimate details. But because we're not playing a game this week, it hasn't been addressed to this point.
Do you view this as an act of petulance on his part?
You know, like I said last week, you know, the circumstances being what they were and the amount of things that we were going through, it wasn't a lot of communication there. Obviously, we take his lack of communication, his lack of presence, particularly on Saturday prior to the game, to be something that's very significant. It will be handled appropriately so. I'm not going to speculate on trades and things of that nature. We haven't formally received a request in that regard. So I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to speculate in terms of where the discipline might go and things of that nature. Just know that it's going to be addressed, and it will be addressed and needs to be addressed for obvious reasons.
So, Mike, as far as how we should clarify Antonio's absence on Sunday, was he absent due to injury because he couldn't participate as of Friday, or was he absent due to discipline because he didn't communicate with you?
He was absent due to injury and lack of information. When he did not show up on Saturday and I didn't know the extent of his injury, I made the decision at that time, regardless of how he felt at any point, that we were moving on and getting singularly focused on preparing to play the game. When he woke up on Sunday and felt better and Drew reached out and expressed that, I expressed to Drew that playing was not on the table because we had to draw a line in the dirt in terms of getting our group ready to play and make the last-minute preparations and so forth. So it was about his health or lack of information relative to his health in terms of determining his availability. That's why he was listed on the injury report. That's why he was listed on the injury report in the manner in which he was listed.
Did he go through with the MRI, Mike?
He did not. On Friday, he did not. But again, when I talked to you guys on Friday, I was not aware of that.
Yeah. Mike, the players have said in the wake of this, among the things they're talking about is a lack of trust, a bond of trust being broken, letting your brothers down, mending has to be done. Is this the proper context?
Absolutely. When we're talking about our darkest hour, okay, we're talking about playing to win a game and needing other dominoes to fall for us to be in the tournament and the guy not communicating, that is a real element of discussion, certainly.
Did he quit on this team?
You know, you can describe it in whatever ways you want to describe it, but there was a lack of communication there that can lead to thoughts and things of that nature that can go in many directions.
That's a yes.
Describe it however you want. Yes, of course he quit on the team.
Good for him.
Might have been injured on Friday, but not so.
That's the best Mike Tomlin press conference I've ever heard.
Might have been injured on Friday, but not so. Well, no, he wasn't because he wouldn't go for the MRI. Didn't show up on Saturday, and then has his agent call me on Sunday. Yeah, he quit. Quit. He didn't want to play in the last game of the season.
You call whatever you like.
Yeah, call whatever you want. Give it a name.
How about that? The agent has to call for him. How about just show up? Show up at the stadium. What do you need your agent to call for?
How about you call the coach yourself if it's so urgent you can't wait
until
you show
up. Show
well,
up
he
and
did
say,
show
let's
up.
Talk.
He said he did talk to him on Sunday.
Early in the day. Oh, earlier.
Or Saturday.
Or Saturday. You can find him. You can find him and talk to him.
Go to the walkthrough on Saturday.
Tell you what, though. Tomlin's not shooting down the idea that they could trade him. You hear that?
Yeah, we'll address that. Yeah, I'm not going to address that. But
he said it will have to be addressed. As he put it, he's not shooting down that idea.
Information gathering, he said.
Information gathering, the information gathering stage at the moment. Lack of communication.
What a horrible look for him, too, to now pair up with James Harrison. And the two of them
of all the guys
are going to go online and mock this and have their own press conference and do everything. Like, talent is there. Nobody wouldn't want the talent on your team. But I thought petulant was a great word that one of the reporters used when asking the question, do you view that as an act of petulance, like a petulant child? And I'm going to go so far, but yes.
You didn't say no.
You didn't say no.
That's for sure. Paulie is in Dedham. Paulie, what do you have for us today?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
By the way, Paulie, thank you for the Christmas present. I haven't had a chance to speak to you since then. Paulie stopped by in Foxborough before the Bills game and delivered a number of presents for the holidays.
He did. Thank you, Paulie. I got mine, too.
I tried to get what was appropriate for each one. When you guys, you and Jimmy went to that, was supposed to go to the Jackie show, you were bred, and that's why you guys get the Jackie Green stuff. And, Adi, I've been banging the drum for the Black Crows. And if you'd have listened to that Magpie solo album, I got that fight in. I'm going to get Wildflowers by Tom Petty.
Well, I'm going to put him on hold. Paul, your phone's breaking up. We got you on hold. We'll get you in a better spot. What did you get for a gift?
Magpie Salute.
You got Magpie Salute. I got I got a Jackie Green album called Gone Wandering.
Oh.
Which is
like folk music?
So I didn't realize it.
Never did no wondering.
Here's what I didn't realize. It's from 2002, this Jackie Greene album.
Oh, it's a classic.
Musically good. I think his vocals leave something to be desired, is what I would say. Hmm. But I expressed this to another Jackie Greene fan who said, yeah, you got to listen to some newer stuff on that front. He's since improved.
Yeah, he's learned how to sing better.
Yeah, yeah. Paul, you there?
Yeah, sorry about that. I was in a bad cell. My house gets bad cells in certain areas of my residence. But yeah, those are the only two they had left. That's why you got what you got. And you got the one with him and the guitar sitting in front of the pale ale next
to that's
the pale ale
sign.
You used to work at a club, so I figured that would be more apropos for you.
You're not even that picture of him on the album cover reminded me as of the front of it, like that same type of sign on the sidewalk.
Where you used to work
at Johnny D's. Yes,
yeah, right.
Right,
that's
out on the street.
You got it. Hi, did you listen to the first three songs of Magpie Salute?
Did you listen?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I really like it.
The first three songs, if your heart isn't beating faster after Omission, Coming Home, and What Is Home, there is definitely would be something wrong with you. I told Jim.
I don't know that my vitals changed. I don't
think Jim was all excited about everything. He thought I got the perfect gift for everybody. And, of course, Zoe got the Southern Harmony Musical Companion. He was going to get it. I was going to kind of prank him a little bit, at the same time try to turn him on to Tom Petty with Wildflowers, but I said,
it's too good.
Do the short thing and get him something that he likes. So I got him one of the all-time greatest albums in the Southern Harmony, A Musical Companion by the Black Crowes. So, but anyway, I called to talk about college football real quick. Guys were gone. By the way, you're like Rip Van Winkle, the 2 years, seeing you've been gone for so long. Wow, it's been that long. You were able to grow full beards. But the college football playoffs need to be expanded to 8. You know I'm a big Notre Dame fan. Notre Dame didn't even belong in the top 4. I thought they were going to go in and beat Clemson. I really thought there was going to be an upset, and it wasn't even close. It was ugly. It was terrible. They need to move this thing to 8. And I want to talk about Urban Meyer. Seeing Urban Meyer, Notre Dame has been so damned awful since he left us high and dry. He was supposed to take over for Holtz. And the continuity would have been there, would have continued to be successful, and perhaps won a national championship or two if he had stayed. Now that he is gone, we've suffered. And he's suffered on a personal level to the point where he doesn't want to coach anymore.
Well, he's got health issues.
It's time for him to come home now, finally, to Notre Dame and turn this program around.
Oh, you a Brian Kelly guy?
Yeah, I like to see him go. Yeah, he's okay, but he can't coach with Dabo and Saban. He can't keep up with these other guys. I'm hoping that's what spurred me to call. I wanted to talk about Maya, and those were my thoughts last night. But when I heard Kelly has been some interest down in Tampa Bay, the pieces are going together. I would love to see him go, and I would love to see Urban Meyer come home where he can have some real peace and end his career.
He's not going to do it, Paul. He's not going to come back right away. If he comes back, it'll be down the road. And I don't think he's coming back.
And can I say definitively that I do not care about any bowl game other than the playoff games now? You can expand it to 8, and I'll care about some of them. But Michigan State, Oregon, and a bunch of my Michigan State buddies on this big text chain were texting about how bad the game. I just chimed in with, it was a pointless game against two effing worthless teams. What are you getting worked up about? Worthless.
Did you see that BC's game got canceled?
Yeah.
You got a thought on that? Can you save it?
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, so Hardy's on record now saying he hates all the bowl games.
Yeah, I like the Eagles now.
Outside of the playoffs.
Yeah, I like everything now.
Outside of the playoff games in college football. He's got no use for the games.
I don't
understand that.
Why would you have any use for that for the Red Box Bowl that my former roommates were getting all in a twist over? Well, I should find their idiot text messages.
I love college football, and I'm kind of with Hardy. The bowl season was very underwhelming this year.
Okay.
Guys are skipping games and the games that don't matter, and the games that do matter are being played before games that don't matter. Like, they need to rework the whole thing.
That I agree with. There are things that do need to be reworked. But just in general, do you want the bowl games outside of the playoff games, Jim? Generally speaking?
If the players are going to play, yeah.
Okay, I agree with that. The players not playing is bogus.
Here's what my idiot ex-roommates were saying. Worst game ever. If Lewerke or the OC, if Lewerke and the OC aren't fired, how do you fire Lewerke? I won't watch one single game next year. They should make it a Sweet 16. Get rid of all the other stuff. I mean, will the Red Box even be in business next year? Sponsor a game? If they don't fire Warner, I just started saying over this game, over this crap game. So I just said to everybody, effing pointless game from two worthless effing teams. Pointless. What's the point of having Michigan State and Oregon play? For what? I know what the point is. Money. Schools get money. But it's guys like that who pay attention to it. I didn't watch 1 second of that game.
Your idiot roommates did.
Do you know what the final score of that game was?
No, I don't know.
7-6.
That could be a good game.
It wasn't.
Okay, but that's not because it was 7-6.
No.
You've seen good 7-6 games before.
Not many.
Okay. So BC had their game canceled last week.
Oh, because of lightning.
90-minute to 2-hour, somewhere in that window, lightning delay.
Yeah.
And then they canceled the game.
Yeah.
I feel bad for both of those teams, and I feel bad for the fans of both of those teams, because say what you... Listen, you know I'm not a BC guy.
Really?
I feel bad for your fans that made an effort to go. Because even though you can't stand it, you think it's two worthless teams in a lot of these bowl games, worthless game doesn't mean anything. It's a glorified exhibition game. It's one more game. You do have to have some semblance of a winning team to be in one. Semblance, I say. You can't totally suck. You got to have a halfway decent year. And you get in. And fans go to the games. They do. It's fun to go to another game at that type of year, that time of year, I should say. And that type of environment, you get to go somewhere, you tailgate, do whatever it is you're going to do. And then to go, and then they cancel it on you? This isn't baseball. This is football. They canceled the game because what is ESPN? By the way, ESPN owns that bowl game. Because what? Nah, screw it. Doesn't matter. Just cancel the game. Doesn't fit into our TV schedule. Like, everyone had a place to be. You got all those people to go, and then you cancel it over weather. A football game, that is, over weather. That sucks.
See, I didn't.
I feel bad for anybody who made the effort to go.
I don't know. I don't understand anybody who makes the effort to go to
plenty of people do, though, Hardy.
One of these stupid games that don't mean anything.
You ever been to a bowl game?
I think I went to the Cherry Bowl once in Michigan when it was at the Silver Dome.
Did you?
I think so.
I went to the Peach Bowl once, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, the old Georgia Dome. And it was a game that didn't matter, but it was fun.
I can't
a lot of people
this.
There. Awesome tailgating. Like, it's still college football. It's still worth going to.
I've got some hazy years. I think I have been to a couple of bowl games.
And I got good teams.
But I don't care.
It was
I don't
Miami LSU the year I went. So
don't care.
Good traditional big powerhouse type of teams.
Why would anybody care? It's an exhibition. Just show up and
because
watch it.
Because it's football. This is why I like that they do it still. Even though there's a million of these and you can't name them all.
One, two, three, four.
Yeah. How many bowl games they got now? Let me
so
take
many
a look.
Bowl games. Let me take a look.
It's one, two,
three, four, five, three, six, seven, eight, nine,
four,
nine,
nine.
18, 19, 14.
It's just like nice to have football on in the background at this time of year. You could turn on your TV like any random Tuesday during the Christmas, New Year's break and like, yeah,
do you know
football
what,
game on.
Do you know what I turned on?
Just sort of nice.
And you know what I did that on Saturday night after, you know, that we had that weird weekend this year between Christmas
yes.
and New Year's. You know what I turned on in the background?
What?
I had the Steelers. Week 16 game on.
You watched a repeat of an NFL game.
I wanted football on in the background, and I put that
Instead
on.
Of just
I
was watching one of the live college games.
Yes.
15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 40, 41.
That was a couple of years
ago. It was 41.
Counting the two playoffs, 41. If you count the championship game, 42.
for.
That's a lot of games.
Yes, it is. There it is. Yeah, they had to get him back.
Can you imagine that? I just can't believe they canceled the BC game.
Of course they did, because that they didn't sucks. Have to play it. It's
that
a joke.
Totally sucks.
The whole thing's a joke. I don't care. You expand the playoffs, and I'll probably watch them, even though it would be pointless. I mean, until Nick Saban gets hit by a blimp, wherever he's coaching,
what's your record?
They're going to be in the championship game, so it doesn't matter.
If you paid to go to that game, do you get your money back?
From who?
From the first responder bowl.
Oh, you mean like your ticket?
Yeah.
I would assume.
I would hope so.
Yeah, they didn't play it. Yeah. Get a refund.
The game didn't happen. I want my money back.
You're not getting your airfare and your hotel
back.
Well,
no kidding. I mean, you're getting screwed either way if you committed to going to that game. If all of a sudden you have to worry about that now, oh, if there's bad weather, if there's thunderstorms, we won't play the game. Well, then I'm probably not going to commit to go.
If you made a trip to go to that game, you deserve it. You deserve to get screwed out of a bunch of money. What are you doing? You know what pain in the ass it is to travel and get down there and get
Dallas.
A hotel and do all
Dallas
that stuff?
Was in Dallas.
Yes. For a meaningless football game. You want to sit there and I guarantee it's...
You don't believe in supporting your school, huh?
About an hour into that game, you're just going to be bored.
Well, we already knew that.
You're going to realize...
You already declared that earlier in the segment.
This team sucks. It sucks being here. I want to go home. I didn't want to be here. Started drinking too early. Now I'm just tired. Get me out of here.
Deserve
but we paid all this money.
You deserve to get screwed out of your money.
Yes!
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's
today's takeaways are brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Most diabetic clients stop taking insulin by week 3. Others reduce or stop high blood pressure and other medications completely. Awaken180weightloss.com.
All right, Beetle. We've got, as you've told me, we've got a number of deaths. I'm not laughing at the deaths. I'm laughing.
Seems like you are.
I'm not, though.
That's
I'm sorry.
Exactly what it seems.
I apologize. Who died?
All right, so this first one, yeah. I saw earlier today, I'm like, this can't be right, because I was surprised at the lack of information about it. But then it turned out to be true, and subsequently there's been a lot more follow-up and a lot more people chiming in on it, which I'm very sad to see him not with us anymore, but I'm happy to see all the condolences. Mean Gene Okerlund. Now, I am not a wrestling guy. I know there's a lot of wrestling fans, would be putting it mildly, that work here at the radio station.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
James Stewart among them, Billy Lanny. I know some people are really into this. But Mean Gene, to me, that means more to me than virtually any wrestler other than, you know, Andre the Giant or Hulk Hogan, because that's what I associated my childhood wrestling fandom with, was Mean Gene Okerlund. Only 76 years old. And Jim and I said the exact same thing. I thought that guy was 76 when I was watching him in the 80s. You know, he just always had this air of, you know, maturity and age about him when he was standing next to these young wrestlers. But apparently he was in poor health. So Mean Gene Okerlund died. And this one really bums me out.
What's the other one?
Super Dave Osborne. Do you know who Super Dave Osborne is? Felger knows. He was a comedy character that got his start going on as a fake stuntman, like on to The Tonight Show and stuff like that. And then he played a character on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Really tall guy, husky voice, Marty.
Oh, Funkhauser.
Funkhauser.
Funkhauser died?
And, you know, a lot of people don't know. That's
not his real name. What's his real name?
Bob Einstein. His brother is Albert Brooks. Yeah, a lot of people don't know this. And Albert Brooks, he's my whoopee. I love me some Albert Brooks. Albert Brooks movies and him and, you know, his stuff that he directs
and
writes.
Okay,
and stuff.
So you said when you heard that Mean Gene was 76, you thought he'd been 76 for a long time. How old would you have pegged Funkhauser as?
60.
He was 76.
Yeah, I know. But
that is wild.
One of the great deadpan comedic actors that we've ever seen. Super Dave Osborne, Bob Einstein.
Oh, that sucks.
Einstein. I don't know how.
They were in production of the late. They are in production of the latest Curb season.
See, even Zoe knows who Super Dave is.
Yeah, that's before my time.
Super Dave Osborne was
still listening, huh? Still watching?
Yeah, yeah, still watching and listening. Yeah,
he spent 4 hours on the couch watching us today.
I think he had his
own to work.
HBO or Showtime special, the Super Dave Osborne show. It was fantastic. All his stunts would go awry.
Oh, Funkhauser. That's too bad.
So
good character in that show too.
He also,
Marty Funkhauser.
He had a bit part in one of the Ocean's movies. I think Ocean's 13. I think he played an FBI agent. May have been Ocean's 11. I don't know.
Yeah, they're so tweeting. Super Dave dead? Question mark. Yep. Thanks for watching, Zoe. Appreciate it. Let's get to why don't we start with the Mike Tomlin sound from Pittsburgh today? We've listened to quite a bit of this. I love this Antonio Brown story because the Steelers are just falling apart down there after not making the playoffs. Well, the head coach went to the podium. He had some strong words against Antonio Brown, but we couldn't help but notice how many times he said the word outline today.
But there are reasons for that. I'll outline. But before I get into some of that, I do want to work within the normal framework in which we work, kind of outline this past week and that game. And I want to outline, kind of re-outline that.
What a lot of outlines.
Up until the time we talked on Friday. I met with you guys Friday after practice. I outlined what had transpired to AB to that point.
Another outline.
All of those things are very accurate. I'll re-outline it for you.
And those are not the only times he said outline. That was just about a two-minute stretch that we took and cut down to a minute of him. He loves that word.
I'll present my thesis, my first supporting statement, my second supporting statement. In the conclusion, I will reword the thesis. There's an outline of my outline for today's press conference. 12 minutes he spoke before he took a question. 12 minutes.
That's not unusual for him.
No.
That's not unusual.
But he didn't even have injuries to report on. Normally half that is going into great detail on the injuries of his players. And talking about their availability for the game.
Well, he would have liked an MRI on Antonio Brown, but he did not go for the MRI. So, therefore, he couldn't talk about the results. He didn't have one. All right. Also today, Tim McCone filling in for Hardy. Tim McCone took a practice run at a first question for Brad Stevens. And also, Brad Stevens will call us at 12:50 today. Who's going to ask the first question? It's got to be me this week. Is that the deal?
We should let McCone ask.
McCone.
You want practice? Now you say that you watch and listen to this show. Have you heard Scott Zolak practicing his first question for Brad Stevens?
I have, yeah.
Okay, yep. So let's try it right now.
All right, we welcome in Brad Stevens, coach of the Celtics. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
You know what, Brad? that was not my best.
That was attempt number one. Do we have the other one? No, the other one was you calling him out for... Not called in last week.
Which I did ask on your behalf.
Which he then said, well, I was told not to call. And I'm like, yeah, well, that was right. That was the right advice that you got.
He would have been happy to do it, though. So you kind of have a connection now with the Celtics head coach.
Yeah, fast friends.
Yeah. Well, you probably have met him before.
Next Christmas Eve. Yeah, absolutely.
Have you shaken hands with the head coach of the Celtics?
Well, one-on-one?
A little hello?
I have.
You're a big hoops guy.
Quickly, 30-second story. It was like my first big interview on TV and that my first station, you one-man band everything. I was super nervous about it. I get there. I set everything up. I hit record. I forgot the card that you actually record the thing on. So I interviewed him for 15 minutes knowing full well that like nothing was actually getting captured. Yeah, it was tough.
You wasted his time knowing that it wasn't
Well, I was too embarrassed to be like, hey, yeah, by the way, I forgot the thing to record
so
on.
You so you wasted 15 minutes of his life knowing that it wasn't being
recorded. He was going to be there anyways, yeah.
And full disclosure, McCone, I saw...
Oh, my God. I can't believe you did that to somebody.
And don't believe this first station
because
nonsense.
Because you were embarrassed?
I saw him one-man banding it down at the Dell Technologies Championship 4 months ago. He's still setting up his own camera.
That's awesome.
Yeah, don't forget the first station.
Felger and Maz are back. They're next. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.